The self-righteous Democrats have managed to, at the very least, stall potential Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's nomination. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is pushing for an FBI investigation into the allegations made by Christine Blasey Ford, claiming that she was sexually assaulted by Kavanaugh at a high school get-together.
FBI should be given time to reopen its background check investigation into Judge Kavanaugh, to speak to any potential witnesses or other relevant individuals, and update its analysis.
However, Ford is stalling on answering to testify.
Are you saying there has to be an investigation by the FBI or else Professor Ford will not testify?
What we're saying is that there should be an investigation because that's the right thing to do.
If there's not an investigation, would she appear on Monday?
She is prepared to cooperate with the committee and with any law enforcement investigation. And that has been her position, and it continues to be her position. So she will cooperate with the committee in whatever form that takes, and it remains to be seen. We have to talk with Senator Grassley's office and the other committee members to determine what form that will take.
While Mark Judge, Kavanaugh's high school friend and only witness to the alleged assault, flatly refuses to testify. And even Dianne Feinstein, the senator responsible for entering the allegations into the nomination process, has her doubts.
No one called her or called her lawyer. My understanding is she got emails. I have no say. I'm the lead Democrat, so this is all up to the Republican side. I can't say everything's truthful. I don't know.
In the midst of all this, Senator Mazie Hirono made this declaration.
I expect the men in this country and the men in this committee, and many of them, believe me, because we all signed on to this letter to demand an FBI investigation. But really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country. And I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step
up. Shut up.
Do the right thing for a change.
Granted, it's a wee bit dogmatic when blanketed on the entire U.S. male population, but when applied to Congress, well, Congress is a different story. Congress thinks we have forgotten the secret taxpayer-funded nest egg to quietly pay off sexual assault accusations it gave itself back in 1995. It is arrogantly known as the Congressional Accountability Act, intended to hold congressmen and women accountable to sexual harassment claims. The fine print in the law actually insulates the accused from embarrassment. USA Today reported, to file a complaint, employees must go through a 90-day mandatory dispute resolution process, the first step of which is counseling for the accuser. Yes, you read that correctly. The alleged harasser isn't forced to get counseling. The victim is. Outside Congress, workers with claims can file a lawsuit in federal court whenever they want. But if they work for Congress, failure to follow these procedures may jeopardize any claims raised under the law. And since 1997, 17 million tax dollars have gone to pay off the victims of Democrats like John Conyers, Al Franken, Robert C. Scott, and Reuben Cahune. Of course, there were Republican predators too, but I mention the Democrats because they are currently using their exclusive legislative power to smear a qualified Supreme Court justice nominee with evidence that even they admit is questionable, while simultaneously presiding over a rigged sexual assault payoff system, funding their crimes with our tax dollars, and insisting an outright biased FBI do their dirty work. Meanwhile, the House and Senate are in gridlock over updating what should be now known as the Congressional Unaccountability Act. It is hypocrisy at the highest level. John Bound reporting.
InfoWars. Tomorrow's news today.
That's it. It's the ultimate hypocrisy going on where men are bad and men have done everything wrong. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Joining me and just on the other side of the break will be Roger Stone. And also, I hear Owen Schroyer just called in with some breaking news. He says he has to make a clarification. So we'll see what that is. I got a whole bunch of news. Got some vaccine news. We got some China hacking, Hillary killing spies news. It's all coming up. Infowars.com/show is the free stream to send out to everybody you know. Join us. Spread that link. We'll be right back. side. Welcome back to the War Room. We're going to be here till 6 p.m. Central. I'm your host, Rob New. Owen Troyer was hosting the Alex Jones Show, so I am here hosting the War Room. It's my pleasure. And also coming up in the first hour, because he just did the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show, is Roger Stone. He is joining me via Skype in a lovely Tom Selleck era Magnum PI shirt, which I'm a big fan of, by the way. In fact, I had to remove my floral shirt to don this suit. But also joining us on the phone right now is Owen Schroyer. So let's bring on Owen. He said he has some news he wanted to break. So go ahead, Owen.
Yeah, Rob, actually, this is bigger than I originally thought when I was talking to you earlier. And when I discovered that a corrected record on the Alex Jones Show today was actually miscorrected. So let me explain what happened. There was a story in PJ Media 2 days ago that broke in the morning. 200 women from Kavanaugh's high school willing to testify that Kavanaugh treated them with respect and class and he would never do anything like that. Okay. So that is the story that I was reading. And I have a photographic memory and an obsession with being right. It's a blessing and a curse. I won't go into it. But I talk about that on the Alex Jones Show today, how there's 20 women from Kavanaugh 200. High School willing to testify. Or excuse me, 200. Thank you. Willing to testify. And so I know I read that. I have trust in my memory. I have trust in my gut because it always is there for me. So I say that on the Jones Show. Now, I had stacks of news, and I aggregate so much news, sometimes I forget to print the stories. And so I'm just going from my memory. I don't have the story in front of me. So what does the crew do, as they normally do so well? They go online, and they go find the story I'm talking about. And they plug it into the SEOs, probably Google. So what do they plug in? 200 women, you know, Kavanaugh. Well, what do they find? They find the story that broke later that afternoon that's 200 women sign a letter that is basically like, oh, we need to trust the woman. Oh, we believe her. She must be heard. And then they get people and celebrities like Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld to come out and sign the letter too. Like, well, okay, who is she? How does she know Kavanaugh? So what did we just witness here? This is how fake news works in real time. This is how the search engines being rigged work in real time, where I cover the story of 200 women willing to testify for Kavanaugh's decency and integrity in high school. So what do? They create a fake news story with a letter, and then Google uses their algorithms to determine what you find. So the crew goes and finds 200 women signed letter.
Hey, hold on, Owen. One thing you guys should do, pull up, just type in 200 women Kavanaugh High School, and let's see what the search engine pulls up. In this case, it'll be Google, which really isn't a search engine. It's more of a propaganda tool. All right, Owen, go ahead. Because we need to show that, and let's see what the search results show. Not, don't pull up anything, but let's just show the search results. Now, start scrolling up, please. Pull it. So there's Vice.com, Perfect Gentleman. So the second is Julian Louise Drive. So the top one is actually the PJ Media. Character witnesses don't help much. All right, so it goes on and on. But the one underneath, and then there's another one from The Cut, seems to be placed so people will see it. Yeah, so it looks like there's more siding with Ford of the 200, but I think the 200 was the key. They saw 200, and they needed their own 200 story to counteract that and to subvert the algorithm. Go ahead, Owen.
Well, that's it. That's everything. And so, we literally were an example. We practiced it today. This is how they try to rig search result. This is how they try to rig fake news. And you know, just think about what they're doing right now, Rob. I mean, I just want really everybody to reflect on this. They're so desperate. They're so lusting for power. They have to deny this from happening. They have to deny America from deciding its own fate, that they're willing to make up stories, rig their search results, make sure they have counteractive headlines. I mean, just look at the measurements that they're going to. And so, of course, the average American that has no idea what's going on is going to have no idea what's going on. We fall for it, and we know what's going on.
And the only stories that are making traction, too, with this upcoming election, Elizabeth Warren's going to win in a landslide. The Democratic nominee for governor is up by 6 points. Beto is now beating Ted Cruz. All right, all from liberal outlets. But then you have a story that I want to get to out of San Antonio that shows a district that's been red for over 100 years, or blue for over 100 years. Well, they switched. They elected a Republican, and this is in the state of Texas. And they said it was huge voter turnout, and they said it was surprising for a special election. From My San Antonio, Flores beats Gallego in Senate District 19. So when we have an actual election, you see differences than what you see in the press, which are saying, oh, it's going to be the blue wave. And so they're pushing that blue wave narrative. They've taken us basically off all social media, so we can't put anything out. They've stopped all these other polling places. It seems like the only time you get a poll is if it's 500 Democrats, 30 Republicans, and a few independents. And they're like, well, Democrats are going to win, and they're showing a 6-point lead. So it's definitely a form of election meddling that's going on. The DOJ is supposedly investigating it, but you can see what they've done so far is all much ado about nothing when it comes to looking at anybody's crimes other than fake Russian collusion.
Here's the deal, Rob, and you're going to take over with Roger Stone, and this is my final statement. We are having ultimate victory right now. We are literally having our revolution right now that we've been fighting for. Now, Trump's not perfect. We're not perfect. We never claim to be perfect. But we have finally changed the status quo. We've finally turned the narrative. We've finally tilted the table against the globalists, okay? But they're trying to deny all of it. They're trying to deny people's access to the fact that it's going on. And this is why it's so key. It's so key. While communication, they know communication has just crossed the threshold from being mostly digital, from being mostly physical. They know that's happened. We have to move that threshold back because that's the only way we can defeat the fake narrative that the blue wave is happening. They will try to steal this election, bar none, ladies and gentlemen. They're trying to steal a Supreme Court seat, okay? They're trying to steal an election. So they will try to steal another election. So people.
Oh, yeah, and if they can steal 2018, that's a dry run for 2020, and they will try to pull off the ultimate coup de grace to defeat Trump. Let's give Roger Stone this last 2 minutes. Roger, what do you think about all
this? Neighbors. They need to start talking to their neighbors, and they need to start talking to their families. You need to start talking to people. You guys take over. You guys are going to do a great job. God bless everybody.
All right, thanks for joining us, Owen, with a little bit of breaking news and some clarification. That is interesting. PJ Media puts out a story, 200 women say Kavanaugh treats women with respect. Then, boom, there's another story. We have 200 women who say he's a jerk, and we support Ford. And he's going to kill women, essentially. That's what they've been saying. Roger Stone, do you have any reaction to this?
Yeah. You know, one of the most important aspects of this, Rob, is the fact that Republican candidates are being disadvantaged on the social media platforms going into this election because Google and Facebook and Twitter don't like their message. They don't allow them the access that they allow Democrats. That violates the federal election law. If you had the single most pressing case, a case that you could make a case that the courts need to hear immediately because of the timeliness, that would be the one. It is a major mistake by the left to show their hand in their blatant attempts to manipulate the coming 2018 elections.
I agree. And Alex Jones has really forced their hand by pushing this out, going into the physical space, confronting people who've been trying to silence him. So then they use that as the excuse to silence him even more. We're seeing other conservatives being silenced. Brandon Strzok had his Facebook account suspended. Then they gave it back. But then they did another suspension. There's like, you can only communicate with people who are in your group. So they're doing this. They're going to take a little away. When you shine light on it, they go, oh, no, we're just kidding. And then they take a little more away. And they're just going to keep taking and taking and taking until somebody comes down and puts the hammer down on them. That's what's going to have to happen. All right. Thank you for joining us here on The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Roger Stone and I will be on the other side. We're going to look at Trump's redaction of Trump's declassification of all the Russian documents. This is something they fear the most. We've got that and more coming your way.
Do you realize that when you spread?
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
And we have to embody the words of the late Johnny Cash and not back down, which I guess those are the words of Tom Petty, sung by Johnny Cash.
And I'll keep this world from.
We have to really stand up for what's right, stand up for what's true, and try to break away through this lens of, I don't know what it is, but the left lately has decided they have to lie, cheat, and steal in order to get their way because they can't win on the merits of their own arguments. It came out today and yesterday in Town Hall and the Preston Business Review. U.S. can spy on journalists domestically using FISA warrants, declassified guidelines show. Confirmed, the Obama DOJ had secret rules for obtaining FISA warrants against journalists. Because if they were going to go through the DOJ, they had stricter guidelines. But through FISA, there was no, a multi-part test. So it was easier to get FISA warrants, which is how they got Carter Page, which brings us to the Russia investigation. And we got Roger Stone, who changed his shirt, by the way. He's not wearing his lovely flowered shirt. I guess he heard me talk about it, and he had to run and go change. Didn't want to be outdressed by me. But here we have the Hill reporter and Bloomberg. FBI DOJ plan redactions despite Trump's document order. Now, Trump signed an order for the immediately declassification of sensitive materials about the Russia investigation. And so this has to go to the DOJ and the FBI, the ones who are making all this stuff hard to come out, the ones who were stalling with releasing emails and texts of Lisa Stroke, or Lisa Page and Peter Stroke. And now he wants them unredacted so the American people can see him, so they could see how much of a witch hunt this really is. And now the FBI and DOJ are planning redactions despite this. Your reaction, Roger Stone.
Well, Rob, this is the resistance they speak of. By the way, I have a policy. I never wear the same thing on the Alex Jones show in the war room. It's bad form. But I am a quick change artist. This is outrageous because the president has the unilateral and absolute authority to declassify any piece of government-held information, period. So what you have here is a countermanding of the president's order for political purposes. The whole argument that we can't release these Carter Page FISA application or FISA warrant applications into others, such as Paul Manafort or myself, is because it would endanger national security is BS, because it would expose their methods. That's nonsense. What it exposes is their political agenda to violate the FISA law, which requires that FISA warrants can only be issued on U.S. citizens who are actively engaged in espionage on behalf of a foreign power.
And that means they have evidence to get that. They have to show evidence, which they showed a fake dossier.
Again, Carter Page doesn't rise to that level. I certainly didn't rise to it. Yet we believe that I was under surveillance from May of last year until the current time. So this is the continued cover up of the larger political scandal. Again, thanks to Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz and Ron DeSantis and Lee Zeldin and a handful of other courageous HALP members, we have chipped away at getting the truth, but it's like pulling teeth. This is the information Rosenstein sought to pay keep away with the Congress. It is the linchpin of the criminal conspiracy to deny Donald Trump the presidency and the abuse of power that makes Watergate look like small potatoes. They will do anything to cover this up because somebody will go to jail. Also, you have the ultimate question, Rob, and that is, how could this happen without the knowledge and approval of the chief executive? In other words, what did Barack Obama know and when did he know it? So when Chuck Schumer says in yesterday's paper, pardon me, not Chuck Schumer, but Adam Schiff says the Trump forces are petrified about what Manafort knows. No, the forces of the deep state are petrified about what's in these documents.
Yeah, I think Adam Schiff is quaking in his boots. And now he's not calling for transparency like he was before, saying we need more transparency. We need to see all the information. Now it's like, well, wait a minute, not this information, because what are we going to see? Trump, so they want to use the FISA warrant application used to surveil former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page, as well as unredacted text messages of Bruce Orr, Lisa Page, Peter Strzokin, James Comey, and Andrew McCabe. Three of those guys are now fired for what they've done. So I imagine Trump has probably already seen this stuff unredacted. He knows what's there. He wants the American people to see it so they can make their own judgment. And of course, we probably won't, when these are released, we probably won't hear a word from CNN about what's on it, because they're too busy worrying about the size of Trump's penis and then people making memes about Anderson Cooper wading around in waist deep water. That's what they're worried about. They're not worried about how our government uses intelligence and fake intelligence to go spy on people.
You know, Rob, it's incredible. It was not that many months ago that Devin Nunes got a memo declassified that lays out this whole nefarious plot. And then almost immediately, Adam Schiff released a minority memo, which I read again last night. Many, many aspects of Schiff's memo have now been proven to be completely false. The continued claim that there was no conspiracy at DOJ or at the FBI to undermine Donald Trump, the idea that this is a quote-unquote Sean Hannity conspiracy theory, is an effort to obscure the truth. They are busted in the greatest single political scandal in the history of the country. And their response is to yell, Russia, Russia, Russia. Oh, look over there. Look over there. It's the oldest trick in the book.
It is. And Greg Jarrett wrote a opinion piece for Fox News saying if Rosenstein defies Trump's order to declassify documents, he should be fired. And I totally agree, especially if it shows any bit of malfeasance on his part or looking the other way or rubber stamping anything. But this is ridiculous what's going on. And when we come back from the break, we got about a minute left. I'd like to play just Louis Gohmert talking about it on, who was he with? Lou Dobbs. He was on Lou Dobbs talking about this because a lot of the Republicans are saying, hey, this is great. This is transparency. This is what we need. And the Democrats are suddenly going, oh, and we don't want this type of transparency. So it really is amazing what it's come out to. And then after that, I want to get into this article from Michael Schneider, and we have a video to go along with it, where 18 to 20 CIA sources killed or in prison because Hillary Clinton's emails are being hacked in real time by China. Let's break it down one step at a time. And this is from Michael Schneider. Now, this came out in August, but this is a story that hasn't got a lot of, sorry about that, guys. It hasn't got a lot of, got a lot of legs. So this is something we do here at the War Room and the Alex Jones Show and Real News with Dave and Knight, is give stories legs that need them. So we'll cover that when we get back as well. Thank you for watching the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. We got Roger Stone. Remember, Infowars.com/show is the free stream to send out to everybody you know. Spread that link far and wide. You are the resistance.
Warning. This broadcast is not for the weak-minded.
It's the War Room
with Owen Schroyer
and Roger Stone. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, we are back live here on the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Last segment, we were going over how the DOJ and the FBI have basically circled the wagons and are running scared from Trump's request to declassify all the documents, or at least some of the documents, going to the Russia investigation, which include the FISA warrant, looking into Carter Page, and then text messages from Bruce Orr, Lisa Page, Peter Strzok, James Comey, and Andrew McCabe, unredacted. You know, we got a lot of redacted texts earlier in the year, but now we're going to get some unredacted stuff. So I imagine this is going to show the location of some proverbial political buried dead bodies. But right now, let's go to a clip of Louis Gohmert talking about his reaction to this declassification. This was on Lou Dobbs just the other day.
I think it's fantastic what the president's doing. It is for transparency. And by the way, Lou, having reviewed some of the things with regard to Hillary Clinton's case, And boy, is she one to talk about obstructing justice and being above the law. I mean, she violated every kind of law and is still out there taking pot shots. But the trouble that I see right now is whoever prepared the declassification order did not put a date by which it had to be declassified and made public. Mm-hmm. And
all
therefore,
right. Pause it right there. That's an interesting point. So whoever prepared the document didn't put a date at which it needed to be done. Now, we have some videos from Project Veritas talking about how these people were inside the Justice Department, inside the State Department, subverting the Trump agenda by just slow walking things through. This could be one of those cases. What do you think of that little revelation there? There was no date to put on when this request had to be met. So this basically gives him, oh, it's going to take us 4 years to go through these. Sorry, Trumpy. What do you think of that, Roger?
Look, this is a stonewall. This is an effort to obstruct justice in the case against those throughout the Obama administration who violated both the law and the Constitution. I still believe the best course of action would be for the president to do what he has not done over the last 2 years and do an Oval Office address directly to the American people to outline exactly what happened at the Obama Justice Department, the origins of the fake dossier, and the current effort by members of not only the FBI and the Justice Department, but many members of his own administration to stonewall and cover up the misdeeds of his predecessor. This, not Russian collusion, is the largest scandal facing the American people today.
I totally agree. All right, let's go back and finish up this clip with Louis Gohmert. Go ahead, guys.
Staters in the Justice Department. Of course, Jeff Sessions recused himself, so you got Rosenstein. Well, every time we have seen something be unredacted, it wasn't about sources and methods. We want to protect those. But every time it has been self-serving to protect the people who have been violating federal regulations, violating protocol of the Justice Department, or violating the law. And so it's kind of calling wolf one too many times to be saying, gee, this is terrible. No, it's transparency, and the American people need to see just how bad the DOJ was weaponized and was utilized. And, you know, you hear people like Brennan and others, yeah. My word, the damage that man has done. And then Comey, for heaven's sakes, McCabe, Strzok, all these people, they need to have their day in court where they're on the other side of the courtroom than where they're used to. It's outrageous what they've done. So I look forward to these things being declassified. President did the right thing, and I'm looking forward to people finding out what it says, and that stuff they wanted redacted actually was self-serving to people like Rosenstein, Strzok, McCabe, Page, all those kind of people.
Yeah, so I think Rosenstein's going to be in a barrel here. If he starts redacting more things, Trump can fire him right there and have total just cause to do it. And if he doesn't, we're going to see the evidence that he was in there partying along with these guys, helping things out, moving things along. And because, you know, they knew they had Jeff Sessions, who was like a blind mule, just walking around going, where's the stoners in here? We got to find them and root them out of this country. And he's working on that. And that's the only thing they have him on. They're like, yes, sir, the stoners are this way. And so he's going that way. They have these guys playing footsie with all this declassification. It's going to be a humdinger, Roger.
Well, there's additional significance here, and that is we now know that Andrew Weissman, essentially the number two man within Mueller's special counsel unit, was apprised of the fabrication of the dossier, and as deputy attorney general, signed off on the extension of one of the warrants. There's a direct conflict of interest, and there it is, the link between the plot to hijack the election and the Mueller operation designed to distract us from that crime. Extraordinary.
And that's what it's done, but it still hasn't stopped Trump from turning the economy around, for putting China on notice that they're not going to just sit here and steal our technology, our methods, our patents willy-nilly without some kind of compensation. And you know, I think it really is. I think people have had enough. They're seeing what he's done with the economy, even with all these distractions. So I'm hoping for a landslide, or at least not a blue wave. Now, we had one of our I guess he's a social media guy here. He's also one of our outreach guys, brought me this stuff talking about Brett Kavanaugh, the people who are going after him demand justice. So they've got these, you know, they've marched and rallied our Constitution, the power of activism. It's one of these left-wing groups. We must stop SCOTUS nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Will you help us? Well, look who the deputy chief counsel is, Paige Herwig. She's deputy chief counsel of Demand Justice from March to the present. Well, look who she used to work for. She was a deputy general counsel to Dianne Feinstein, who happens to be the person that has this letter that we got, and that she doesn't even know if it's true or not, stating that Brett Kavanaugh is some sexual assaulter. So it's interesting to see how these people just run around from one job to the next, just trying to thwart anything being done that is conservative and not, I guess, wanting to kill babies. That's essentially what these people are doing, promoting baby killing. Your thoughts on that, Roger Stone?
Well, what's really amazing to me, Rob, is that we have in Senator Feinstein someone who had a Russian intelligence agent, a mole, on her Senate staff for 20 years. That story was in and out of the mainstream media in a day. There are no repercussions. There is no investigation. We don't know what classified information, which Senator Feinstein is entitled to, may have been stolen. But she's a Democrat, so keep moving, folks. Nothing to see there. The double standard applied by the mainstream media is laughable. It's gotten to absurd proportions. Dianne Feinstein should have packed it in some time ago. Little Adam Schiff, believe me, is unhappy that she's even running again, because that's the seat that he wanted. Meanwhile, she does this essentially a dirty trick. They call me a dirty trickster. I know a dirty trick when I see one. Producing a letter from a woman with no witnesses and no corroboration with a wild charge, that's the epitome of a dirty trick. And then the mainstream media takes this bone and runs with it like a dog.
Oh, and they run with it. They repeat it. They get Hillary Clinton to say, oh, well, you know, we have to hear her out. Now they're saying, hey, we want to hear you out. Well, however you want to do it, through carrier pigeon, it doesn't matter. Just talk to us. And she's like, well, not until you do a full FBI investigation. This is just cut and dry. This is a stall tactic. They're bringing her in to stall the thing. They didn't think people would go, hey, you know, yeah, we'll let you talk. Come in. And she's like, wait a minute. I didn't know I was going to have to go under oath. And they probably won't even put her under oath. That's the thing. They're going to let this lady come in and skate, say whatever she wants. And, you know, when people bring up these allegations, you need to back them up. Nobody's heard of this story for 30 years, 30 plus years. And now all of a sudden it is the biggest news story in America. Meanwhile, you have Keith Ellison beating up his girlfriend and nothing's being done about it. You don't hear a peep about that from the mainstream media. They're worried about this thing that happened in high school, people. High school. Imagine if people went back in your high school yearbook and started asking around. What would they find, huh? You know, people change as they grow older. And I'm not saying he did or didn't do it, but I'm saying you can't go back and look at this stuff.
Investigation into Hillary Clinton's private email server.
A new bombshell development reveals Hillary Clinton's leaked emails were likely responsible for the deaths of up to 20 CIA agents working in China.
Beijing is said to have killed or imprisoned nearly two dozen U.S. spies between 2010 and 2012.
Over a dozen CIA agents may have been killed as a result of Hillary Clinton's leaked emails.
The FBI is denying that, sort of, but the story is still fluid and confusing. And for some reason, a lot of people don't seem that interested in finding out what actually happened.
Look, the deep state doesn't want to do a damage assessment. They don't want to grapple with this because to do so would undermine the fiction that what Hillary did caused no damage and deserved no prosecution.
The former Secretary of State's carelessness allowed a Chinese state-owned company to gain access to her emails, giving them the ability to read her messages in real time.
Even worse, the FBI was reportedly warned about this by the Intel community's inspector general, but did nothing in response.
It's almost like there were like folks at the top of the FBI that just weren't interested in anything that made Hillary look bad.
And the fact that this information was discovered, then turned over to the FBI, and the FBI counterintelligence office, including Mr. Peter Strzok, apparently took no interest in it, is shocking.
One of the top officials who was alerted to the problem was none other than anti-Trump agent Peter Strzok, who decided to ignore the warning. Texas Representative Louie Gohmert of the House Judiciary Committee explained that this news would have damaged Clinton's chances in the election. And so agents like Peter Strzok decided to cover it up.
It is time to hold people accountable. It is time to perform an actual investigation into Hillary's breach of protocol and her facilitating this cyber attack on our country.
What the heck were the Clintons doing? Why have there been no substantive prosecutions in this case at all? The reason, I think, at this point is pretty obvious.
As a result of this massive intelligence leak, China was able to discover the identities and capture some 20 CIA agents who were then either tortured or murdered.
This was a sophisticated intelligence operation in which they were able to generate what is called a courtesy copy of every incoming and outgoing email that Hillary received in her private server that was, you know, up in her mansion in upstate New York, or I'm told actually in the bathroom of her mansion.
You had dozens of CIA and American sources and operatives in China killed and imprisoned by the Chinese government because they got access to those top secret files.
One agent was actually shot and killed right in front of a Chinese government building in an apparent message designed to intimidate Washington.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
And that video is put together by Darren McBreen. He'd seen this article. This article's from August 30th, and it's from Michael Schneider, where 18 to 20 CIA sources killed or imprisoned because Hillary Clinton's emails were being hacked in real time by China. And this is an obvious scandal, an obvious breach of intelligence protocol. And yet the FBI went and covered for her. And why is that? Why is that? Is it because she said if she goes down, she's taking half of Washington with her? Roger Stone, what do you think?
Here's the most amazing thing, Rob. Of all the people to roll out today to come out and say that the accuser of Brett Kavanaugh, Ms. Ford, should be believed, that she should be given the benefit of the doubt, is Hillary Clinton. Really? That's the most hypocritical thing I've ever heard. Did she think Juanita Broderick should be given the benefit of the doubt, that she should be heard, or Kathleen Willey, or Paula Jones, or the dozens of others that Bill Clinton assaulted and Hillary Clinton subsequently threatened and bullied and sought to silence? This woman is tone deaf, completely tone deaf. Democrats even had to cringe when they saw that headline.
And with all this talk about launching an FBI investigation on this lady's letter, where she doesn't even say it was Kavanaugh, she thinks it might have been, but she does not quite sure because she was drunk at the time at a high school party, no less. Juanita Broderick went on Twitter and said, "Hey, what about me? That happened 30 years ago to me. Investigate Bill Clinton. Why won't there be an investigation for that? Nobody wants to hear about that. It's, we have to launch an FBI investigation, Kamala Harris. We have to launch an FBI investigation, Senator Warren." They all want to pile on this from this this letter that, after watching all the things that have gone on this year, to me, seems totally fabricated. They took an incident. This incident probably happened to this lady. And Brett Kavanaugh probably went to school with her. But now it's, he did it. Even though she doesn't even really say that. And even Feinstein says, "I don't know. I don't know if any of this stuff is real in this letter. But we're going to launch an FBI investigation after the FBI already investigated Kavanaugh 6 times for different positions." So this just goes, you just got to look at all the forces that we're up against. And I did it. Oh, I did the evil scuba diving symbol that now makes me a white supremacist. Unless you're Ocasio-Cortez, who was caught making the same thing. Colin Kaepernick was doing the same symbol. Everybody does this symbol. It means okay. It's just funny. But this goes to what's going on. The forces of evil and deceit and darkness are totally against the truth coming out in any way, shape, or form. They're totally against normalcy being instituted back into our American value system. And that is why it's important that you do support us by going to the InfoWars store and checking out some of the great products like Survival Shield X2. Right now, it's our last run. I think it's going to be going out. Right now, it's 25% off, but you better hurry because I think this weekend it's going back to full price. And also Super Male and Super Female Vitality. This is going to be the last run of these. 50% off. 50% off. Get yours today. And don't forget, it is Preparedness Month, something Donald Trump told everybody to get prepared. And we have a ton of preparedness products. You should check out our Alexa Pure Breeze air filters, also our Alexa Pure water filters and our ProPure water filters. I use a ProPure water filter every day at my house. My kids take water bottles to school, and that's what they have in them, is ProPure filtered water with no fluoride in it. And don't forget the War Room exclusive. If you use the code War Room, you can get $5 off our InfoWars tumblers, which keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. Anything you want to add to that, Roger Stone?
No, other than the fact that it's extraordinary the way the mainstream media has sought to downplay and disregard the story about the fact that the Chinese had, in fact, penetrated Hillary Clinton's emails. It's as if it didn't happen, but of course we know that it did. What you have here is an extraordinary double standard in which Donald Trump and his associates are gone over with a fine-tooth comb, without microscope. Yet Bill and Hillary Clinton and their cohorts, whether it's Loretta Lynch or John Brennan or James Clapper or others, willfully violate the law in plain sight, and nothing whatsoever happens. But we have a broken system, and until the president gets an attorney general who is committed to the rule of law and not looking at party, but putting away people who are involved in real corruption, we are going to be deeply in trouble as a country.
Well, who do we get in there? Who's going to have the balls to go up against these people? Because obviously Jeff Sessions doesn't have it. I mean, the Democrats are literally walking around with blood all over their hands, and they're like, Kavanaugh dropped a gum wrapper on the floor 20 years ago. We have to launch an FBI investigation. I mean, who can rein these people in?
Well, first of all, you have to clean house, and that's not as easy as it appears, because the Justice Department is booby-trapped. They changed the line of succession for the flow of authority after Donald Trump became president. So the first five officials in order of rank are all loyal members of the deep state committed to thwarting Donald Trump. And therein lies a problem. Even if he were to fire Mr. Sessions, fire Mr. Rosenstein, I think he has to fire at least five deep into his own DOJ before he gets control of the building and somebody committed to the rule of law.
And that would be amazing to see. And it's something Hillary is warning her people about. Hillary, Trump will wholesale fire people after midterm elections. He claims he's uncontrollable and unaccountable. Wholesale firing, that's what I would like to see. And I'm going to go over some of these videos in the next hour, these Project Veritas. I think, and of course, you don't see any of this in the media. Project Veritas unmasked DOJ official using databases to push socialism and dox business owners. Okay? They're literally doing exactly what you're not supposed to do, is use your government power to go after your political opponents. And that is what this young lady, it seems, Allison Herbar, these people don't even have normal names. Isn't that interesting? H-R-A-B-A-R. Hrabar. And we had the guy yesterday from the State Department. These are young little idealist socialists that have been trained from birth to accept socialism and bring it into their hearts. And we're going to show you some video of that in the third hour coming up, of how they're trained. This is how they're trained. Is then they go into these positions. They take these low-level positions and work their way up, and they don't mind. They don't mind, because they're really there as a cover to use the tools, to use their access to further their political agenda. It really is sick. Roger Stone, thank you for joining us today here on The War Room. We'll be back. We got two more hours. Infowars.com/show. Roger, you got 20 seconds. Anything else you want to say?
No, we're good.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time here on The War Room. That's Roger Stone. You can check out his book, Stone's Rules, at the Infowars store at InfowarsStore.com.
Infowars.com/show.
I've got something that is really hilarious. And so we're taking lemons that we've been given by the big tech censors, and we're turning it into luscious lemonade. And this is kind of the spirit of Infowars, that we take a licking and keep on ticking, the old Timex adage that Drudge applied to Infowars. And it's because we expect to be attacked. We expect the full spectrum could possibly happen to us, and probably will, because we intend to be leaders in fighting tyranny. We intend to be 100% in, because if you're going to get in a fight, you better go balls to the walls. You better go 110% or you're going to get hurt. Mexico, 2 weeks before the ban. And then it went to number one, and so they deleted that it was number one, but it was still there. Then went back to close to number one, so they just totally did delete it. But it's still on your iPhones if you have it. But the Android is still there at Infowars.com/app for now. If it's on your phone for a few years, it'll work, and it's a great app. People love it. It's the new app, Infowars Official. So here's the original ad that Savannah put together with Drew, two of our great team here, and with a little added something at the end that our own Rob Dew, news director, put together. Here it is.
Hey guys, my name is Savannah Hernandez, and if you're always on the go like me, then you're not always tied to your computer or TV. So we just released our free InfoWars Official app. The InfoWars Official app includes all of our live broadcasts, like War Room with Owen Schroyer, Real News with David Knight, and the holy grail of podcasts and radio, The Alex Jones Show. And the best part about the InfoWars Official app is that every single time we go live, you get notifications so that you never miss a beat. So whether you're in the car or on a run, this app makes it easy to keep the InfoWar right in your pocket. So what are you waiting for? Download
not the so fast, InfoWars. Apple banned your app.
I help too.
Oliver.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You can still get the app until CNN and Soros-funded BuzzFeed and the Chi-Com merged Apple get together and I guess get Google to ban it. You know. We are getting persecuted, and I don't want to say it's all been a bed of roses, but the results have been victory. I mean, at a gut level, at a spiritual level, I feel good. Really, for the first time in this 25-year quest, 26-year quest, as I started to fight the globalists 24 years on air, I've always been very satisfied, but I just always have a burning that the enemy's going to win and that I'm literally God's mad at me. And now, as we approach the real persecution, I'm serious. I feel God's presence more, discernment more, understanding more, peace more. Folks have noticed sometimes a little bit more calm now, even though we had this horrible storm, obviously, hitting the U.S., it's kind of mixed metaphors, that humanity's going to make it. Now, it's going to be a remnant of us, but this big test, you got to hit rock bottom before you start going back up. And I'm just really impressed with everybody. I'm talking about the listeners, the activists, everybody. I'm really impressed with you. And I'm really impressed with Trump. And I'm really impressed with the drip, drip, drip of Google and Apple getting exposed and the crimes they're committing. And Trump's getting ready to drop the hammer on them right now. And you're seeing them strike back with all the videos coming out. And it's a warning to Google. You think the stuff they released yesterday is bad? Psst, they've got everything. Oh, yeah, they've got the meetings with the Chinese. I mean, you know Google's really the CIA. But it's leftist run now, so it's run over to China, and it's a civil war inside the intelligence agencies. You don't think it's all been recorded? You don't think all the crimes of Tim Cook at Apple and all the rest of these jerks aren't known? And their scientists are resigning every day, top ones, saying you are pure evil?
Hey, how would you like to take InfoWars with you wherever you go? Well, now you can do just that with the new official InfoWars app. And here's the best part. It is absolutely free. At the Apple Store and Google Play, you can join the InfoWar today. Check it out right now at InfoWars.com/app.
With Alex Jones to peruse Twitter and see what was going on. Got this article from the Gateway Pundit. Ties in with everything we've been talking about. Ex-CIA chief John Muslim Brennan encourages deep state to defy President Trump's declassification order. He's literally calling them to be seditious. Right there, that's from Cassandra Fairbanks over at the Gateway Pundit and Big League Politics. The deep state is in an obvious panic mode since President Trump ordered a number of documents relating to the Russia investigation to be declassified, joining the loud choir of those pushing for insubordination against the president is former CIA Director John Brennan. So the Democrats are freaking out because they know this is going to be the leaky boat. It's going to sink them. And as they start going down, we saw Clapper already saying, well, this is all kind of done by Obama. I mean, he was the one who ordered all these investigations. And that's why it happened. And so they will turn on each other as soon as they can. So he was on MSNBC, and he urged people in the intelligence community to ignore the president's order. The reason we didn't find out about it till today is because nobody watches MSNBC. They have to wait for it to come out on YouTube. And here's his quote. And this is something that I am hoping that individuals of conscience are going to stop and prevent, because I'm concerned that this is just one indication that Mr. Trump is going to increasingly look for steps to take in order to further subvert the Mueller investigation. Well, this is just transparency, Mr. Brennan. I mean, what do they have to hide, right? That's what it's all about. What do they have to hide? If they have nothing to hide, they shouldn't worry about this. Shouldn't be any big deal. But maybe they do have something to hide. Now, we have this supposed blue wave that's taking place, but here in Texas, things went a little differently. Here it is out of Infowars.com. Red wave. Just went up. It's from Don Salazar. Hispanic Republican flips Texas district after 139 years. District hasn't been Republican since the days of slavery. You can see where the district is. It kind of starts in San Antonio and goes all the way over to Big Bend. So it's a state Senate district, but this is a state race. And this is Pete Flores defeated Democrat Pete Gallego in District 19. So they can't say it was racism. They can't say it was sexism. They can't say it was ageism, because actually I think Pete Flores was older than Pete Gallego. You can't say it's Peteism, because they're both named Pete. All right? This was the voters turning out and saying, we want different leadership. So it hasn't been Republican since 1879. Pete Flores beat Pete Gallego 53-47%, which brings me to another InfoWars article from Paul Joseph Watson. Dem leader tells crowd, has to do with the voting in the blue versus red wave. Vote early and vote often, whatever you can get away with. I shouldn't say that, but I really don't care. This is a St. Clair Democrat leader told a crowd to vote early and vote often at a rally in Caseyville over the weekend. Here's that video. Don't take my word for it.
We got a great candidate for governor, J.B. Pritzker. He's going to win. He's going to win big. But he won't win if we do not get out and vote. We need to early vote. Like I say, we can play East St. Louis rules, vote often, vote early, vote often. Whatever you can get away with. I shouldn't say that, but I really don't care.
Vote early, vote often. Kind of like President Obama, when he was outgoing, they're asking about the election, and people were talking about illegal immigrants voting. And he goes, well, if you vote, you're a citizen. Ah. Yeah, we have, I think they thought like 3 million illegals voted in this last election for president. So we'll see what happens this year. I mean, we already see the election meddling going on. Hillary Clinton says Trump's going to wholesale fire people after the midterm elections. So this is all kind of coming to a nexus. You see the shadow banning happen, the outright banning of people on social media only happening on one side of the spectrum. Now there's a guy on Twitter saying white existence is a crime. He'll probably get a medal from Twitter. Your existence is a crime, hence we say land or death, replying back to somebody. And this is the Black First, Land First spokesman, Lindsay Masdorp, which a lot of people pointed out, that is a Dutch surname. So the man's got white blood in him somewhere. He doesn't look very black like a guy on the right. It's the whitest black man I've ever seen. And yet he's calling for racism and white genocide. And if you talk about it, you're a white supremacist. Even Joe Rogan talked about what's going on in South Africa. And people were like, Joe, how could you? You're a white supremacist now. How dare you talk about what's going on in South Africa when they say white existence is a crime and land or death? That's just puppies and kittens to us. How dare you? Last week, Masdorp took to Twitter to voice his disapproval of an article in which The Citizen had looked at his tweets alleging that white media companies had benefited more from the state from the now defunct Gupta-owned newspaper. Masdorp said The Citizen must really learn to read in a public tweet. So he is the spokesperson for Black First, Land First. But he'll be allowed to stay on Twitter. He'll be allowed to preach hate, preach fascism, preach white genocide, and that'll be okay. Because if you're on the left, you can say whatever you want. Your existence is a crime. He says it right there. That's his tweet. What else do we have? I'm going to kind of do a little bit of a news blitz as we end up. The marijuana industry pushes to eliminate the word stoner, drawing applause, anger, and confusion. There's a badge on her uniform, possibly a gun on her hip, and her arms are spread, a little suggesting she's ready for anything. You might think you're looking at a police officer walking the beat. It's an effort by MedMen Enterprises of Culver City to remind you that marijuana users come from all walks of life. They can be cops, nurses, doctors, scientists, construction foremen, and grandmothers. And then they feature the word stoner with a line drawn through it. Lindsay, let's get rid of this. It's a negative stereotype. MedMen operates 14 retail pot stores, including one in San Diego. They want to take the stigma away. And this kind of goes to the abortion question. We've seen states exercise their state rights to say, hey, we want to sell marijuana to people. We want to tax it. We want to use it to fund things. Yeah, it's against federal law, but we don't care. And this is what Trump said when getting Kavanaugh. Oh, is he going to kill Roe versus Wade? He said, well, if something happens like that, then it'll go to the states and the states will get to decide, which is why we have the United States of America. It's individual states coming together to form a republic. It's not about the government extending its authority over the states. So you need to have the states be able to make their own laws, especially when it comes to things like killing babies. I think that should be down to the state level. And I think you'll see most states will vote to get rid of it or make it very hard or put different regulations on it, unlike what are on now, which is basically if the baby is still inside the woman, we can kill it. How would empowering women beyond their wildest dreams? Who wrote that article? I was on the Federalist. Who's the writer of that thing? Oh, Catherine Glenn Foster. Okay. All right, we'll be back right after this. I'm going to look into what's going on with Project Veritas. They are releasing left hooks left and right to the deep state and showing how kind of pathetic these people really are. We'll get into it after this. Short break. You're watching The War Room at Forbes.com/show is the free stream to send out to everybody you know. Welcome back to the War Room. Almost halfway through the second hour. We're here till 6 p.m. Central at Infowars.com/show. That is our free stream. You can also still get us at Infowars.com/app for Android. If you have the app on Apple, it's still usable. It still works. I have it. I get the push notifications. Fact, let me show people something here on this app, and I've been meaning to shoot a video on this. See this little bell right here? When you go to the news section, there's a little bell, and if you hit that bell, you will get notifications. Anytime we go live, anytime we put a new article out, boom, you'll get a notification. So if you have your InfoWars official app, go to the news section down at the bottom and click that little bell, and you will get all the updates we have. Anytime we go live, that's how we're pushing them out. We're putting these live feeds and articles, so then, boom, they get pushed out to you. It's the way, you know, we're kind of having to circumvent the system because the tech giants don't want us to have our say, especially with this midterm election. They wanted to give the 2016 election to Hillary. They were unable to do that. So what do? They lie, cheat, and steal. That's all they do. And that takes us to this next set of articles here. Project Veritas is really doing it. They're doing a great job. Today they released, this is the second in their line of videos, their target is Allison Raber. I hope I'm butchering her name. Works for the Department of Justice. She has a LexisNexis account, which she uses to dox people. Interestingly, when I think it was Krista Nielsen of Homeland Security, she was eating at a Mexican restaurant. There was a Department of Justice person that was there leading that chant against her. So she's a paralegal. She's also a member of the Democratic Socialist of America. Oh, and she was involved in driving DHS Secretary Krista Nielsen away from that restaurant. She doesn't mind about breaking the law. She says it's cool. Guys, play some of this video over top of here because you can't really hear it well. It's something you have to watch. And don't play with the audio. Just play the video. Because you can't really, the way they're doing these hidden cameras, they're in bars, a lot of it. But they have subtitles. So how we can resist from the inside, there's a lot of pushback. It's kind of lucky I'm at the DOJ. So she's at the DOJ and she can't be fired. We heard that from Stuart the other day. So it's all about how they can subvert President Trump's agenda. There she's talking about food stamps, how they're slow walking food stamps down. People, and actually record numbers of people are getting off food stamps right now thanks to President Trump's policies, but they don't want to talk about that. Shubel is a senior policy analyst at the center. So here's another journalist. Or at the Health and Human Services. So it allows the work requirement allows the state to require medical beneficiaries to work in order to get coverage. Oh, we don't want that. We just want to give stuff away. So she's talking about how they subvert the system. You can read all about it at Infowars.com. Project Veritas unmasked DOJ official using databases to push socialism and dox business owners. So I'm not sure if that's the... I think you guys are playing a different video because the one with Allison, she talks about how she's using LexisNexis. Oh, it goes to the second part? Okay. What I'm amazed at that she admits, and this is all on camera, that she uses LexisNexis to find members. They were finding members of ICE. They were going after people. And basically she's using her time on the clock to resist everything at every level, she says, and FS up. And this goes along with the article from yesterday. And this guy was a member of the State Department. His name was Stuart Carafa. He monitors Virginia political news online while at work on behalf of the DSA. He isn't worried about getting caught. And they live in this warp reality where they're so happy about what they're doing. I'm careful about it. I don't leave a paper trail. Like I send all my emails out at 5:31. These draft messages. So he spends his time at work on your taxpayer dollar, writing messages on behalf of the Democratic Socialist of America. And these are low-level minions. But you can imagine if it's just, you think it's just these two? These two are the only two people doing this? Or three, I guess you have the HHS lady as well. That was, where's her name at? Jessica Schubel. Schubel, Harbor, and Carafa. Interesting names. But see, they're using their position and their taxpayer-funded salaries to literally work for an organization that wants to end America as we know it. And will they get fired? Will anything happen to these people? Will investigations be launched? Because then they look at their, Carafa talks about how he brings stuff to this guy who just rubber stamps and doesn't even look at the documents. He's just there and he's supposed to be the guy as the watchdog, but it doesn't matter. These people are the Democrats and different laws apply to them. Hillary Clinton gets to out CIA agents through her personal server and it's no big deal. It's not news. Meanwhile, Kavanaugh might have done something at a high school party 30 something years ago and it's the end of the world. Now, when we get back, I think I'm going to cover this. This is from The Statesman. Breaking: Austin man at center of 3D printed gun debate faces sexual assault charges. Sex assault charge. So this is Cody Wilson. We've had him on our show. This broke this morning. We've actually reached out to him for a comment. I don't know if we've received anything yet. But I'm going to get into this. And this is kind of going to be a warning to people out there that are on the right, that are young and upcoming and single. This is what not to do. I'm going to go over you what this indictment says. Now, this is an affidavit. Said a counselor called Austin police on August 22nd to report that a girl under the age of 17 had sex with a 30-year-old Cody Wilson. So I'm going to break it all down when we get back. Out of CYA, cover your ass. Because people are going to be doing stuff like this. Remember, they lie, cheat, and steal. This is the way they do things. It's the way the left operates. So we'll cover all that when we come back. And I've got a special message from Alex Jones on how to circumvent what we're going through, which is total internet isolation. We'll be right back. You're watching The War Room, Infowars.com/show.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, quick disclaimer. I am not defending the actions of Cody Wilson, but I'm going to show you what happened. This is what we call like a honeypot trap. Cody Wilson had an account on SugarDaddyMeat.com. This young lady who's under the age of 17 started an account on SugarDaddyMeat.com and began messaging him with a man named Sinjuro. And he told her his name was Cody Wilson and said it was a big deal. They exchanged naked images of themselves. Then they decided to meet at a coffee shop. They go to a hotel, have sex. He pays her $500. And then he drops her off at a Whataburger on Slaughter Lane. So when they say this is a sexual assault is a second degree felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison and up to a $10,000 fine. At some point you have to go, all right, this girl created the account. She went to meet him. She exchanged pictures with him. Now I know she's under the age of 18, but did he go find her at a bar and roofie her drink and take her to a hotel and have his way with her? Did he grab her off the street? No. This is an obvious setup. But hey, this just goes to show you. Men, ask for a driver's license. All right, know when the age of 18 starts. Know the laws in your area. Don't get suckered into this because this can happen to you, especially people that are big in the movement of especially on the right, who are trying to bring back sensibility into this area. They will get honey trapped. This is the way they do it. Now let's go to a message from Alex Jones.
There's a referendum on free speech here. If you take this live feed that's on InfoWars.com right now, and if you text it to your friends and family and tell them, hey, get the Android app while you still can. They already banned the Apple app. Those that downloaded it still have it. Go to InfoWars.com/show. If you take action, if you spread the articles, if you email them out, if you text family and say, hey, this is the forbidden Alex Jones, find out why it's forbidden. See what he's really saying. They're coming for all our speech. It will be a chain reaction, and the globalist will fail. If you don't, they are going to win, and they think you're stupid, and then that's going to happen. I don't think you're stupid. And I see Trump moving against them. I see the awakening. I see all these employees at high level quitting Google and Apple and exposing it. And I think humanity is going to find its conscience again, and we're going to turn this around. I want to change the world. I don't want to just sit here and submit to the system. And I know that you're the same, and I believe in you. So I want to thank you all, no matter what color you are, where you came from, or you know what you look like. If your heart loves freedom and you love justice, we're all in this together, and we're facing real 21st century authoritarianism. Now, in closing, just like our information is game-changing, our products are game-changing, and Survival Shield X2 is the pure iodine. No one else has this from deep earth crystals between 7,000 and 12,000 feet. It's very hard for me to get this product. Sometimes there's major shortages. It has 6,126 reviews, 4.9 stars on Power Reviews. No other product on their site has that. It's that amazing. It's the good halogen. You must have iodine in your body. It is essential. And it's just like air. It's just like oxygen. It's just like the basic building blocks. But instead, they hammer you with the bad halogens, fluoride, chlorine, bromine, and about seven other things that literally fog you, fill all your cells, your thyroid, you name it. And a lot of people, when they go on X2, have dramatic effects. Some of them have a detoxing at 3 weeks. So talk to your healthcare provider, your practitioner. It is an element. And the government, in the 30s, there were so many mentally retarded people in low IQs, particularly in the Midwest, because there was not enough iodine in the fields, and they weren't eating seafood, that there were massive IQ reductions, all sorts of genetic disorders. So they mandated a low-grade form to be put in salt. IQs then went up on average 15 points, according to federal studies. Birth defects went way down. That is a fact. Since the 70s, they pulled it out, and they hammer you with the bad stuff. The fluoride, the chlorine, the hydrofluorosilicic acid, you name it. For yourself, for your children, for everybody, take it slow. Take a half dose, in my view. That's my personal view. You know, they demonize me selling toothpaste is fluoride-free. They demonize me saying fluoride's bad. David Hogg says he sells water filters and claims you should filter your water. Well, only an idiot wouldn't filter their water. The point is that the globalists don't want you protecting yourself. So Survival Shield X2 is amazing. We're over a barrel with the oil companies that get it between 6,000 and 12,000 feet. So there's no contract now for this. When I say it's the last run, it could be 6 months a year until we get more. I hope we get more. This is the last run, it looks like. Survival Shield X2 at InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. BioTrue Selenium goes with it like a horse and carriage. Selenium is an electrochemical. It's needed as well in all activity in the body, particularly neurons. So these go incredibly well together. We have a combo of those. Just experience it for yourself. Why do you think they fear me so much? Very simple stuff. Filter your water. Yeah, I find myself selling water filters. It's the best out there for the price. Alexa Pure, all of it. The globals are so deceptive. David Hogg's like, he manipulates. He lies. He says, filter your water. Then he says, next, buy my water filter. No. I'm being a straight shooter. Alexa Pure Breeze, Pro Pure, or apples and oranges, they both cut stuff out 99.99%. If you're not filtering you and your children's water, you are insane. You know about the glyphosates and the 100 plus million they just won? One black guy that got cancer from it? You understand that cancer goes up multi-thousand percent after glyphosates are used in crops. The water table's filled with it and thousands of other chemicals on average. So again, ladies and gentlemen, you need to go see that for yourself. Average 4.8 stars. Some of those products are new. They have no reviews, but they're already top reviewed elsewhere. We buy whatever's top reviewed and then discount it. So Survival Shield X2 is really a game changer. It's available at InfoWarsStore.com. But get the other products. Get Brain Force. Super Male Vitality. It's cold pressed from known herbs and known organic compounds that don't mimic testosterone. From the research, they get your body to naturally operate. And very dramatic, works great. But again, I've been playing hardball with the cost of these products. So I've broken the contract with Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality. It's very high quality, works really great. People love it. But this is the final run of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality, unless I get some better negotiations, because I want to be able to even lower the price even more. And it just is a lot of money goes into this, and it's worth it. It's just that I'm doing 50% off until it sells out. 50% off on Super Male and Super Female Vitality. We also have our Alpha Power that is amazing. That's even stronger, but it's from dry herbs, not the wet cold-pressed herbs. So it's apples and oranges. Both are amazing. InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com, or 888-253-3139. 50% off X2, 50% off Super Male Vitality. And whether it's the lung cleanse, or whether it's the Super Blue toothpaste, or whether it is the Ultimate Bone Broth, nobody puts into products the amount of product we do. They sell at clinics. That's how I learned about this 5 years ago. That I talked to my dad, and who's a doctor and chemist and developer, and others. They said, great idea. PQQ CoQ10 is either synthetic or it's very low dose, $40 for a little bitty bottle of it. I said, why don't we get the real stuff that's organically produced? And why don't we, instead of having a 7-time markup, have 100% markup? And so, again, ladies and gentlemen, you can get DNA Force that is proven to be able to have nerve regrowth factor. Watch out if you've got anything old hurt in your body, though, like old hurt knee or whatever, because I mean, I had my finger been cut off years ago and it had been reattached, and the feeling never came back on one side. It came back after 3 months on DNA Force Plus. Now stronger, now with more PQQ and CoQ10 and even more. It is an amazing formula. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com, or 888-253-3139. 4.6 stars. It really is amazing. Check it out for yourself. And without you, again, we cannot fund this operation.
If you are receiving this transmission,
whether you're looking to boost the benefits of our fish oil formula.
You say some of the things I say are despicable. A few things I've said turn out to be wrong, and I'll admit my mistakes. But most of what you brought up when we talked on record and off record in D.C. last week are straw men. It's misrepresentations, just like they say Trump hates all Mexicans. No, he said a lot of criminals are coming across the border, rapists and murderers. He didn't say they were all rapists and murderers. So, again, it's misrepresentations of what they do.
Absolutely true on the Trump argument, but not true on your argument. I've heard you, Alex. In fact, the reason why we almost got in that fight or that Twitter fight way back when was when you were talking about the inside job that 9/11 was. And I will tell you, I watched the second plane fly into the building. I lost 16 very close friends in that World Trade Center. There is no way in the world that I think my government could be part of a conspiracy that would kill 3,000 Americans. Innocent Americans. It wasn't a wartime. It wasn't on the battlefield. These were innocent Americans going to work. Some of my closest friends died in that, and that really bothered me.
Eric,
and
but I want to be clear.
I still don't buy this fact that the government looked the other way.
I'm not saying, just like there's rogue groups in the White House and rogue groups in the CIA fighting America and that have been caught working with ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and Trump says Obama and Hillary founded ISIS. That's true. John McCain was involved in that. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying, because I've been in New York and people say, how dare you say firefighters blew up the tower? I never said that.
I agree with Alex Jones that John McCain was there and did meet with some of the leaders of what would soon to become ISIS. I agree with you, but explain to me what proof in the world that you have that our government had somehow information that there was going to be two planes flown into our World Trade Center. You don't have any.
I get blamed for every conspiracy theory that some crazy person made up.
I do not agree with you that the U.S. government, someone inside the government, had knowledge of the terror attack prior to the attack.
Oh, really?
Nobody in our government, at least. And I don't think the prior government that could envision flying airplanes into buildings on such a massive scale.
I don't think anybody could have predicted that these people would take an airplane and slam it into the World Trade Center, take another one and slam it into the Pentagon.
But that turns out not to be true. U.S. military planners did envision and practice those very scenarios. As reported by USA Today, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, conducted exercises with fighter jets, simulating hijacked planes flown into the World Trade Center in the 2 years before the attack. Pentagon planners also envisioned the attack on the Pentagon 5 months before it happened. According to this April 2001 Pentagon email, Air Force officials wanted a war game, having a terrorist group hijack a commercial airline and fly it into the Pentagon.
And I ask you whether you recall the title of that PDB.
I believe the title was Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States.
There were elements in our government allied with radical Islam that helped them carry out the attack, just like they're covering up New Mexico.
Alex, you can argue whether or not America deserved it or not. I don't think
I don't think America deserved it.
You don't.
I'm saying the left is cheerleading it.
Wasn't your theory, Alex. Your theory was not only did America not deserve it, but the United States government knew about the attack prior to the attack and decided to stand down. A very different theory.
I don't want to spend all our time on 9/11. It's not that I'm running away from it. It's that the media misrepresents what I say about it. I believe Islamic terror and radical Islam is one of the number one threats on the planet, probably number one. I know that there are criminals in our government like Brennan, who reportedly converted to Wahhabism. Obama helped launch the Arab Spring to overthrow our allies in Egypt, you name it. And I think that elements let this happen, like PNAC wrote, to let there be an attack to end up taking our liberties away. And I've got FBI was warned about flight schools. That's CBS News. FBI knew Al-Qaeda pilots were training in the U.S. ordered to stand down. ABC News. State Department lapses aided 9/11 hijackers. Then they had the airlift of evil flying tens of thousands of Al-Qaeda fighters out. Our military was ordered to do it. I don't blame our military. They would say, oh, you hate our military. No, I love our military.
The Bin Laden family was whisked out of the United States by President Bush himself right after the 9/11 attack. And they went back to Saudi Arabia, correct?
That's right.
When you had the World Trade Center go, people were put into planes that were friends, family, girlfriends, and they were put into planes and they were sent back for the most part to Saudi Arabia.
So all I'm saying is there is a radical Islamic alliance with the left, and there are people in the government working to protect Islam. They got this imam that was connected to dozens of bombings. After 6 months, he's being released from British prison next week.
Well, you said some things that I agree with. I believe radical Islam is the greatest threat to the United States, our freedom, maybe even the globe. I'll agree with that.
Maybe the left's bigger, though.
Well, I think the left is a different type of threat, and it's a longer-term threat where, you know, radical Islam could, you know, kill a lot of people real fast. And the left, it's going to take a while for them to take over and take away our liberties and freedoms.
But I think we can deal with a straight-on attack like radical Islam. It's the left creeping around.
I don't like them either. I'm on board with that.
Well, this is video on screen of them saying Building 7 has already fallen. Have you seen that video?
No.
And it's right behind her.
Well, I can't hear her.
You want me to play it for you?
What? I'd like to hear her say it's already fallen. And by the way, Alex, anyone could throw a video, a picture behind it, a news person. That could be
a video
screen.
Well, she's saying Building 7 has fallen. They put the story out beforehand.
Now, more on the latest building collapse in New York. You might have heard a few moments ago I was talking about the Salomon Brothers building collapsing. And indeed it has. Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
Well, only really what you already know. Details are very, very sketchy.
We are getting information now that one of the other buildings, Building 7, in the World Trade Center complex is on fire and has either collapsed or is collapsing.
You hear that? Keep your eye on that building. It'll be coming down soon.
They were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull. And then we watched the building collapse.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Well, pancaking almost like a precision implosion.
It's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
Let's just think about this. Controlled demolitions cannot be engineered and rigged in a day. It takes months. And therefore, this event must have been planned in advance.
You hear that?
Keep your eye on that building. It'll be coming down.
The building is about to blow up. Moving back. We are walking back. It's a building about to blow up.
Did they actually use the word brought down? And who was it that was telling you this?
In the fire department. And they did use the word, we're going to have to bring it down.
And these people heard explosions.
We heard this sound that sounded like a clap of thunder. It looked like there was a shockwave ripping through the building, and the windows all busted out. About a second later, the bottom floor caved out. The building followed after that.
And I turned in time to see what looked like a skyscraper implosion. It looked like it had been done by a demolition crew. The whole thing just collapsing down on itself.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
I was down there. I was down there. One of the only people that weren't military in that area. There may be a handful of us, maybe 200-300 people max, trading oil because we had to stabilize the price of oil during that time. That whole area was unstable. They were worried about more than just Building 7. They were worried about some of the satellite buildings of the world. There were like four or five five-story World Trade Center buildings that were around. They were worried about those falling. The Brooks Brothers building, they were concerned that was going to go down too. There was mass fear, confusion going on. That is all land.
You're saying it's a.
That's all.
Land. So you're saying it's a false report.
No, it's not a false report. I'm telling you, I don't think that there was a conspiracy to blow up Building 7. For what reason?
Never in the history of a world, never in the history of high-rise skyscrapers has ever a skyscraper ever come down because of fire. And I'm talking massive fire. And you know the reason why? Because fire does not burn by itself hot enough to compromise and melt steel.
I happen to think that they had not only a plane, but they had bombs that exploded almost simultaneously, because I just can't imagine anything being able to go through that wall. To do that kind of destruction is even more than a big plane, because you're talking about taking out the heaviest caliber steel that was used on a building. I mean, these buildings were rock solid.
What we had in the World Trade Center, and I saw myself, was molten lava-like pockets of molten steel. All right, I spent the night on the pile searching for bodies, and I saw that with my own eyes. So who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe a bunch of government bureaucrats or my fellow brothers, which I lost 343 guys that day? And I lost Tommy O'Hagan, Bruce Van Hines, and Kenny Kumpel. And I can never forget that. I think of that before I go to bed. I think about it the first thing in the morning when I wake up. And it's in honor of them and their family that I will continue to do everything I can to make the rest of the world wake up to the fact that this was a false flag operation.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
All right, welcome to the final hour of The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Joining me in the next segment will be Infowars reporter Jake Lloyd to cover this article. Exclusive UT professor says, essential to view America through a Marxist lens. A look at college indoctrination in America. So we're going to get to that. Also, I'm going to have some vaccine news. There's a new flu test going on, and also some interesting stuff going on with one of our frequent guests, Dale Bigtree. And then I want to get into the social score in the final segment of the show. Of course, you know, we've been talking about the Chinese social score for a long time, but here we are back in August 21st of this year. InfoWars was right. Facebook using Chi-Com social score for users. Well, Apple is also going to be instituting the social score. And then there's private companies developing social scores to help you not pay things like deposits on apartments, and that's with the group Traity.com. And I'm just going to take you through their website. Somebody sent me this morning. This website must be shut down. You know, they have every right to operate, but people need to know what they're getting into and what stuff like this can lead to. But let's now go to this video from, this is from Campus Reform. Liberal students admit Trump is helping the economy. Well, that's not very Marxist.
Today we're at Michigan State University talking to students about President Obama's comments saying that President Trump does not deserve credit for how well the economy is doing. What do students have to say? Let's find out. President Obama gave a speech this week in Illinois talking about how it's wrong for Trump to take credit for how well the economy is doing because it's still his economy. What are your thoughts on that comment?
He's been out for long enough now that it's not on him anymore. It's more on Donald Trump, so I guess he's a little bit in the wrong.
I would probably, unfortunately, side with Trump for this one. I think that he has done, like, a lot for the economy that Obama didn't do such a good job on. But, yeah, so I guess I'll side with Trump on that one.
But I feel like once a president's done, they hand it off.
I feel like all presidents do this. They'll sort of take credit for something that's happening down the line.
I think the underlying fundamentals are likely still largely Obama, but in terms of confidence and changing people's attitudes, I'd say that's mostly Trump.
I kind of feel like everything's just like in like a just
like a plateau.
Not the market. The market is going way up.
I mean, I just haven't really kept up with that, so I wouldn't really know too much.
Because of all the things I have issues with, the economy's not really one of them. It's more like foreign relations and just like public appeal and things like that. So of all, I think the economy is probably one of the things I think he's doing decently well at. He's a businessman. I think that's his strong suit.
His tweets and stuff I find very offensive because, you know, I'm a girl, so, and a lot of them are against us. So,
got it.
But economically, like, I feel like he's really helping us.
I think when you're in the role as president of the United States, you're supposed to bring people together, not polarize them. But overall, yeah, he does definitely make some good deals.
And the way he goes about conducting his business, I don't agree with. But overall, I think he's going to do some good things.
I think he has done a good job as far as, like, making new jobs and lowering the unemployment rate.
I think he should stay off Twitter, like, stop talking about things he shouldn't be talking about, become a little bit more, like, well-mannered. But I do know for a fact that, like, he's been helping a little bit, and we've been doing a lot better with the unemployment and everything. So from my perspective, I think he's doing okay with that.
Like, I just feel like he doesn't really know how to run a country, you know? Like, I feel like
things are going pretty well, though. Unemployment, very low. GDP rates, above unemployment rates.
I'm glad to see that he's trying to bring stuff in-house and make it healthier in the long term.
And you can join Owen Schroyer tomorrow, who's going to be launching a InfoWars Army offensive, a truth offensive, on the bridge, if you're in the Austin area, over going over Riverside, over I-35, where they'll be holding up signs talking about this Trump economy that people might not know about. And we'll see if we can get some honks for Trump. That'll be tomorrow. You could check out the article. If you guys have the article, we'll bring it up. If not, we'll show it next segment. But go to @InfoWarsArmy for all the details, @InfoWarsArmy on Twitter, and follow that account, and you can get all the latest updates. We'll be right back after this with Jake Lloyd. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Joining me is InfoWars reporter Jake Lloyd, who is also our liaison with University Wars, another little tentacle we're creating, unlike the tentacle that comes out of Tim Cook's mouth when he sees Oliver Darcy, but like a tentacle of information and truth. And speaking of Tim Cook, Apple will log about how many phone calls or emails you send to or receive to your device to get a trust score.
I wonder what they're going to do with that information.
Yes, we must.
Purely for benevolent purposes.
Can we trust you? Are you a person we can trust? In the new America. Now, I was talking earlier about these Project Veritas videos, where it's these young idealistic kids who are all democratic socialists. We've seen there's more democratic socialists coming out of these schools. And why is that? Why is that, Jake?
Well, it's the programming that these kids have to endure in college, and it's not like a under the current. It's not an undercurrent. It's not a secret subversive thing. It's actually just being taught to them. I was talking to our UT associate. He is working with University Wars to send us footage and stuff. And when he was on the show with me, I talked to him and he was talking about how he's in film classes. The first film class that he ever took, he had to read a book by Max Horkheimer, which is like the forefront, forefront critical theorist, the actual cultural Marxist. And that's the first book that they ever get assigned in their film courses at the University of Texas. So it's not even a secret undercurrent.
How to be a good Stalinist.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. How to be a good little cultural communist. And so that's the kind of programming that they're dealing with. And this video that we have in this article, he sent us just a couple minutes. He got a whole hour's worth of content and he just sent us a little 2-minute thing. He's going to clip it up further and give us the rest of it. But you have a student asking a question about how we should view the world through a communist lens. And the professor gives back a very, very interesting answer. So, you know, you would think that that type of thing wouldn't be allowed, but I'm sure, you know, I won't spoil it for the audience because I'm sure we're going to watch the video. But it's very, very concerning when you think about what these kids are being taught in college.
And this is just one professor in one mm-hmm. school.
Yep.
And this is happening all over the place. We've seen it at Mizzou where the lady said, I need some muscle to get this guy out of here. This man is in our safe space. We see safe spaces crop up everywhere. And this is all part of not looking at actual facts, but just everything is feeling based and feeling
right.
oriented.
Right.
Let's go to this video now. Exclusive to InfoWars.
You know, how do you guys like quote Marx, quote Benjamin, quote all these sort of leftist thinkers, and everything part of the Communist movement, the Communist Party? You know, I think at the school, in my experience, we talk a lot about intersectionality, but whenever it comes to that class piece, sort of that's a history that we don't teach. And I think the thing that I have experienced is that we also don't teach class, but we don't teach how class and issues of race or issues of gender sort of overlap and how they intersect in terms of a socialist feminist movement for like the Black Panthers and this sort of long, rich history. So I was curious for you and for, you know, us in this room, how important is it for you that there's specifically sort of a socialist or communist perspective on these issues whenever we're talking about labor organizing and the history of civil rights issues?
I think it's essential. You know, to not have any kind of class analysis or analysis of capitalism and try to function in a capitalist society is really, I can't imagine how you understand what's going on without that. So, I mean, I think that probably social workers do deal with class in a way. I also think it's absolutely impossible to talk about class in this country without talking about race. And maybe gender. I'm kind of lagging behind on that a bit. But, you know, I think that, it's just, it's essential that we some analysis of the system.
So to wade through, so if you're not very familiar with like socialist and communist jargon, then it's kind of confusing to wade through. It's kind of like it's like overly academic and stuff. But basically, for anybody listening, what the student asked was, how are we supposed to view class? We talk about gender and race and these social constructs and different stuff.
Intersectionality,
how they, you know, everything intersects. But what do we do about class? Like, should we focus on that? And she goes, oh, it's essential that we look at things, you know, we have appropriate class analysis like Marx taught about. And then she says, that's the only way to understand what's happening in this capitalist society. So effectively what they're saying is the only way that you can truly understand how the world is working and what's going on in the world is for you to look at things through a Marxist lens. And the students don't just hear that they're being taught this cult mentality at first because it's wrapped up, like I said, in so much overly academic jargon that they don't understand it. It's just slowly inoculated into their brains that this is how you need to think in order to actually understand what's going on.
And this is the type of thinking that is pervasive in every type of class, but especially these social communication type classes, anthropology. And these are the people that are going out and working in Facebook and getting hired by Twitter. I think one of the new Reddit moderators who's killing off conservative pages comes from the same background of this anthropological bent that everything is everything white is bad, everything male is bad, and that the only reason there's any goodness in the world is that we had communism at one point and we can get there again.
Right. And that's why things like film, like I mentioned earlier, why would film be wrapped up in communism? But it's because of the adaptation after the Soviet Union kind of collapsed. It wasn't what it needed to be in the Marxist eyes. So they created the Frankfurt School and all this cultural Marxism. That's what critical theory is. Critical theory can be applied to anything. That's why like film critics, they hate movies that most people would love. They hate American Sniper. They hate stuff that doesn't buy into their worldview because that's why it gets bad ratings. It's objectively an entertaining film, even though it's, not necessarily factual on the Iraq War. It's objectively an entertaining film, but for some reason they come up with these reasons that it's bad. It's because critical theory can be applied to any and every subject. It just takes the Marxist ideology that there's oppressed and then there's oppressors, and it inserts that into whatever topic you're looking at.
And then notice how you have people like Jim Carrey who said, we got to stop thinking socialism is a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
While you have people like Maduro eating steaks while his people aren't even eating.
Right.
You have this, and there's your classes. There's your oppressed and your oppressors.
Mm-hmm.
And people follow him around this. All these other Hollywood stars, these celebrities get up there and push socialism left and right because they know they're going to be in that top oppressor class.
Mm-hmm.
They know they're going to be safe. So they're not worried about themselves. They want everyone else to be controlled and controllable and have no freedom and have no thought and have no movement. They want to be the only ones to have that. So they're loving this stuff that's being taught
right.
in the universities.
Right. And it goes a lot deeper because obviously socialists and communists hate Trump for the obvious reasons. He's a capitalist. He doesn't believe in controlling the economy to get a desired result. But it goes deeper because you mentioned Venezuela. You look at Cuba back in like the 50s, 60s, 70s, it was secretly controlled by Russia and the communist Chinese. The same thing is going on. I actually talked to a couple Venezuelans who came here about 5 years ago. And if you look at the makeup of a large portion of the Venezuelan military, there's Iranians, there are communist Chinese advisors, an enormous portion are Cubans from communist Cuba. So, and Trump has talked about, maybe we need to intervene in Cuba. It's because he knows these things. And so the socialist animosity towards Trump goes a lot deeper than just the simple surface level economic things that you would think of.
And then you look at places like Brazil, where they actually stabbed the guy who they call him the Brazilian Trump. He got stabbed in the streets by some guy who claims, he got a message from God, and that, so that makes it okay because somebody's crazy and they're a socialist to go stab somebody because they said, well, God told me to do it. So that's the insanity we're facing in this world. We're going to get into more of this on the other side of the break. I'm Rob Dew. You're watching me with Jake Lloyd here on The War Room. Infowars.com/show is the free stream to send out to everybody you know. All right, we're back on the War Room. Joining me is Jake Lloyd, InfoWars reporter. Last segment, we were going over the Marxist bent, including a professor being caught on camera saying you just have to view the world through a Marxist lens. And before that, we played, I thought it was very enlightening video coming from Campus Reform, talking to people up in Michigan about Trump's work on the economy. And they all seemed... They had other disagreements with him, but they all seemed to say, well, he's doing a good job on the economy. And no, I don't think Barack Obama is to blame for that. He is definitely, the credit goes to Trump, yeah. Not to Obama.
And that's big. That's really big, because if they're willing to admit that, then what do you think that the more center left people are thinking, and the centrists and the center right who maybe don't like Trump that much? I mean, Trump really is more center than anything, but in the modern current political spectrum, it's pretty far left. So if those people are thinking that, that's a pretty big deal, because the economy is one of the main drivers that gets people to the polls when you know, if the economy's up, people are more likely to vote for that president. If it's down, they're going to vote against him. That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
Because most people, that
economy
is,
and war.
Exactly.
If we're in a war, like, not like, you know, we're still in Afghanistan, but if we were in a new war,
yeah,
they'd be like, oh, we gotta keep him in there.
Those are the two things that people feel like actually affect them directly. So those are the two big things. And I think that's very telling for the 2020 election if things keep going in this direction.
And now we also have this news came out today from Zero Hedge. Trump delighted after North Korea pledges to dismantle key missile facilities. Many analysts weary of the North's sincerity until last nuke is removed from the country. So Kim Jong-un said he announced that he would allow international monitors to enter the country and observe the dismantling of North Korea's nuclear reactor in Yongbyon, its primary source of nuclear fuel, amid a raft of other bilateral promises, including plans for the North and South to field a joint team at the Tokyo Summer Olympics in 2020, while seeking a joint bid to host the 2032 Summer Olympics.
And the funny thing is, like a few days ago, there was an article in the news that was saying, like, the nuclear disarmament hangs in the balance, or it's dangerous, unlikely to happen, something like ahead of this meeting between North and South Korea. But here we see that it seems like it's going to go pretty well. That's a big deal for him to say, we'll let people in.
The Koreans seem to be really getting along fine, the North and South. They're like, look, we're going to meet. They had the symbolic stepping over the demilitarized zone, crossing the line with Kim going to meet Moon, shaking hands and going in for meetings, and then President Trump coming in. You know, and people want this instant gratification. They think it's like opening up an app and going to Reddit. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not like a meme. Dismantling a nuclear facility takes time. It's not going, you know, it's going to take months. It's going to take years for this to happen. And of course, you know, those in the military industrial complex are saying, well, this isn't going to work. It's not happening.
Right.
You know, the second he mentioned it. So they're saying it's, but you know, Trump's saying, no, this is good. He's being like the cheerleader. He's going forward and say, look, this can happen. We have to get behind both parties and help them and help it happen, but it's not going to happen overnight. And you know, people on the left want to just say, well, it's not going to happen.
It's like the Berlin Wall coming down. First, you know, there was a very big, long buildup to the wall actually coming down. But even when the wall came down, it wasn't just all of a sudden communism was over. The Soviet Union was a free market. It didn't happen like that. It took a long time for free movement to actually be allowed and for the free market to take root in Russia. So exactly like you're saying, it just takes time. These type of things can't happen too fast. And it's good because otherwise, you know, imagine how easily the world could be destabilized if that were the case. You could just all of a sudden do something like that.
And, you know, people want to talk about North Korea's human rights record, which is dismal. We actually have more prisoners, people in jail, than North Korea. So we also ought to look at what we're doing and why do we have to have so many people in prison? Why do we have to have so many private prisons?
Right.
And why does it seems like everything that is against the pharmaceutical company gets you a prison sentence?
Curious.
Very curious. Then we have this article from The Hill. I guess on The Hill TV, they interviewed Trump, and he says, I don't have an attorney general. He actually said that. That's a quote.
Wow.
I don't have an attorney general. And I mentioned that before. It seems like Sessions is a blind mule walking through, looking, smelling, where's the marijuana? I got to get these marijuana smokers. And although he is doing a good job on MS-13 and going after them, I hear there's major breakthroughs going on there.
Right.
All throughout the country, we see the arrests. We see the pedophile rings being busted.
Mm-hmm.
So there, it seems Sessions is doing a good job, but fake Russia collusion, any investigation into Hillary Clinton, we're not going to see it. Those types of things, the things that we really wanted to see, although I would say on the crime, he is going good, except for marijuana smokers.
He's doing pretty good on like normal crime, but it's not like normal crime wasn't being prosecuted before, aside from illegal immigration or that kind of thing. But so we're prosecuting normal crime, but the people who are high up in these upper echelons of society are still getting away with their crimes effectively. And that's one of the main reasons that we wanted Trump to get elected. It was, you know, lock her up was a big deal, not just locking her up, but all of these people in the criminal cabal that occupies the high offices of our government. So I think that Trump needs to do that. That's a big reason that he was elected. And you know, a lot of these QAnon people go crazy. They're like, oh, there's all these sealed indictments. Jeff Sessions is going to take Hillary down. He's going to take the Clinton Foundation down. That's not
just wait. Just wait.
It's going to happen. It's all part of the plan. And what it really is, I don't know who said it to me, but it's really people that are not suited for this type of intense, trying to make things happen. They it's much easier for them to just believe everything's taken care of. There's a plan. Nothing can go wrong. It's like, there might be a plan. Things rarely ever go according to plan.
Right.
So it's not all finished. You know, it's not over. It's not over until it's over. And that's what people need to realize.
And hey, if Sessions was being a sneaky guy and he's got these 50,000 indictments and they're going to drop them all at once and we're going to see a total change in the deep state, great. I'm all for it. I want to see it happen.
Right.
And my eyes don't believe it.
Yeah.
And Trump's eyes don't.
I've seen no reason to believe it. I've seen no reason to believe it. If it happens, then great. Like, I'll be very surprised, very happy. I will apologize to Jeff Sessions for whatever it's worth. Sorry, I made fun of you, called you, you know, a do nothing attorney general, but I haven't seen anything to suggest that's the case.
Until then, he is still a blind mule. Now, coming up next segment, I think I'm not sure if I want to go with the vaccine news or this news coming out with the Apple going to track your calls and emails to give you a trust score. Facebook's giving you a trust score. China's already got a social credit score. This is where it's all going. And now there's private companies getting into the mix where they want to create trust. They want you to enter into the trust thing voluntarily, the trust score system. And they're going to create a trust score.
Yep.
So there's going to be all these different trust scores going around. And which one will be the one that becomes the Rosetta Stone that everything is worked under, and how will it affect your life? Will you be able to travel? I mean, this just seems like it's rife with abuse. We've already seen what these companies do to people with their free speech.
Yeah.
They want to stifle it. They don't want you to get your message out.
It's kind of the age old thing, you know, the hardcore libertarians, it's like the government. We don't want the government to oppress people. But then, so it's okay to be oppressed by corporations. And that's kind of what you run into. It's like libertarianism is good to a degree. Just like you have to put some reasonability into it somewhere, because corporations are just as capable of oppressing people and imposing upon people as government if they have that power. So it's something we need to worry about.
We definitely need to look at it. And I've actually contacted the people at Traity saying, hey, come on for a debate. Come on for an interview. Let's talk about this, because I don't think we want to go the way of China. I don't think anybody thinks China's way is perfect unless you're an authoritarian gulag lover, which I'm not. So we're going to talk about that on the other side. Thank you for watching The War Room. We'll be back after this short break. Infowars.com/show.
Warning, this broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
We have here a saying in InfoWars that we're tomorrow's news today. Here's an article from April. China assigns every citizen a social credit score to identify who is and who isn't trustworthy. Here's our article from yesterday from Kellen McBreen. Journalist unpersoned by Chi-Com social score. No travel, no property. See? They roll it out. Boom, they catch somebody in the dragnet. And this is Chinese journalist Lui Hua. He lives in the Orwellian society, and where they go after you with things like bad driving, smoking in non-smoking zones, buying too many video games, and posting fake news online, all which can affect your social score negatively. And by 2020, they want to be able to track all of their 1.4 billion citizens. And they'll have a ever-changing social score that goes from 0 to 800. Who is an estimated example of one of the 10 million Chinese citizens with a bad rating after he was arrested and jailed for accusing a high-level official of corruption and for publishing details of misconduct by authorities on his popular website? He's been banned from traveling via airplane or train and has had his social media accounts suspended. Oh, kind of like Alex Jones. You know, they got rid of his LinkedIn account. They took him off all these social media platforms. Was still able to travel, but we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts. You know, because now we have Facebook. InfoWars was right. Facebook using Chi-Com social score for users. This was back in August 21st. But look at some of the headlines. 2015, before anybody was talking about this, before Black Mirror had an episode on it, Coming to America, China reduces credit score for obedient citizens. Paul Joseph Watson, social isolation for people who express controversial opinions or dissent. Facebook is using its is rating users based on how trustworthy it thinks they are. Users receive a score from 0 to 1 that determines if they have a good or bad reputation, but of course it's completely hidden. Here we are back in 2014 of December. Zuckerberg lauds socialism with China's internet censorship czar. So Xi Jinping wrote a book called The Governance of China, and it was sitting on Zuckerberg's office desk. I bought this book for my coworkers. I want them to understand socialism with Chinese characteristics. And that's why big tech wants InfoWars banned, because they want the corporate message to be filtered through them going out to you. And now Apple's getting in on the game. That's why they moved to China, essentially. So they're going to be monitoring your cell phone and email data in an attempt to combat fraud. So they said in their new privacy page, to help identify and prevent fraud, information about how you use your device, including approximate number of phone calls or emails you send and receive, will be used to compute a device trust score when you attempt to purchase. These submissions are designed so Apple cannot learn the real values on your device, and the scores are stored for a fixed time on their servers. And so where does this all lead? It leads to a group called Trady.com. All right, this is the simpering lisp of the velvet iron glove that is going to smash you if you have dissenting opinions. So we go to Trady, helping people trust one another. We gather all your reputation from different data sources so that you can control it, own it, and leverage the best ways to benefit you. Right, it's all about you. Let's go to the history of trust. Once upon a time, people in small tribes had to know and trust one another with a high degree of accountability. As cities became larger, people did not know each other and accountability was lost, leading to fraud and mistrust. In a world where we move, countries more than ever before, where we work as freelancers, trade with strangers, and make friends, we need to know who people are. And how do we do that? We build a network of trust. That's right. We're going to look at your social media accounts. We're going to analyze them on your behalf, giving you privacy while proving important things. We're going to have recommendations from other friends that have high reputations on Trady, sort of like a LinkedIn for trust. Together, we will build your reputation score and profile and be able to share and show to people and other companies that want to prove your trustworthiness. That's right. And we're going to build something they called a trust bond. They partner with some of the largest insurance companies in the world to launch Trust Bond. This is where they help you save money. Play that video on the side, but don't play the audio in it. Trust Bond helps people replace the rental deposit with trust. So if you're a tenant, instead of paying $2,000 up front to your landlord, who happens to be a white older male in this video, we can make it around $250, and we'll front the money to the landlord. So he'll get his $2,000, you'll pay us $250, and the trust bond happens. It takes Trady scores into consideration for eligibility, and if you're a reputed member of Trady, you can get a trust bond. There's the landlord who wants his fee for him and his little dog. But see, now we're going to go through all your tenant profiles. We're going to look at eBay, Uber, see what kind of a passenger you are in cars. And this is all just from other people's opinions, and we're going to mix it all together to create a trust score. And then what are we going to develop? We're going to develop a social credit score. Trady's social credit score is more human and outperforms traditional risk scores for different perils, particularly those with a high moral hazard. Traditional credit scores don't apply to everyone, especially migrants, students, or freelancers. This is going to give a fair treatment to those. Oh, my God. And then they're going to have, at the end, what facilitates all this? It's machine learning and blockchain credit scoring. That's right, buzzwords. We're going to help you with buzzwords. Our risk scoring is built upon machine learning and runs on blockchain, which means you can write a blockchain-based review through our APIs. Your customers can benefit from leveraging and portioning their scores, and it creates accountability loops that reward customers having good behavior, good behaviors when using your service. So see, it's all about how you act in this corporate paradigm. You don't say things that Facebook likes, you get a bad social score. Then that will filter down to your Traity score, which means you're going to have to pay a higher premium when you rent an apartment. Apple's also going to be looking at your behaviors to see whether you're a good or bad person, whether you can be trusted. It's all about control. And it's all about inching its way towards the China model, which China, you know, they don't care what you think. They're going to put this anyway. So you've got your Chinese score, which is from 0 to 800, sort of like a credit score that you have now. And what does it lead to? It leads to a journalist who is exposing government corruption from high-level officials and publishing it on his website. He suddenly can't travel, can't get an apartment, can't use a train or an airplane, and his social media accounts get suspended. Now, what does that have to do with trust? Well, it's trust in the system. The system wants you to trust it and trust the information it pushes out. And if you don't, you're not going to be able to travel. You're not going to be able to have a social media account. You're not going to be able to rent an apartment. You're going to be one of the lower level scum. And that's how they want it. It's all going to be based on this Chinese model. That's why Facebook and Apple are all moving there. And that's why companies like Traity, which may be a good company, may be good people. But eventually, this type of technology is going to be used to implement a Chinese control grid here in the United States. That's what we're in store for. All right, final segment coming up. I'm going to get into some vaccine news. And I'm going to play a short video of someone who's worthy for the InfoWars Army. We'll get to that all after this break. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dude. Thanks for watching. Infowars.com/show is the free stream to send out to everybody you know. We'll be right back.
Whether you're looking to boost the benefits of our fish oil formula or just...
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Segment of The War Room. Thank you for joining me today. I think we've covered a lot of ground of what's really going on in this country, especially with these social scores and what's going on with the FBI and DOJ trying to circumvent the will of the president. He just wants the information to get out. What do you got to hide, guys? But now let's go to some vaccine news. This first article is from Vaxter. Pharma begins vaccine experiments on kids in St. Louis. So kids between the ages, you can get that title again there. Oh, you guys got it. Good. Kids between the ages of 9 and 17 are going to do some nasal flu vaccine experiments. So they got a new flu. It's like a flu mist, but this is a new one. I love this quote, though. We are hopeful that newer kinds of influenza vaccines, such as the candidate being testing in this trial, will provide protection even if their components do not precisely match the currently circulating influenza virus strains, said Dr. Fauci. So the experiment requires that 50% of the kids receive a real nasal flu vaccine while others receive a saline solution. And all the participants are going to get an intramuscular injection of the licensed quadrivalent seasonal influenza vaccine. Quadrivalent. That's a four different strains they're going to pump into you and give you this other nasal flu mist. Well, some type of flu mist. And the study aims to discover if the combination of these vaccines increase immunity. Yeah. How well did it help this kid? Utah mom says healthy 19-year-old son died from flu shot. Wow. These are kids 9 to 17. Hopefully none of them die in this experiment. But here, this poor lad here Chandler Webb went into a coma. His mom said he had just got a flu shot the week before. He was rushed to the hospital. And he was going on a mission on October 16th. And he got the shot. Then he was sidelined with headaches and vomiting far beyond normal flu-like symptoms that sometimes accompany the flu shot. In fact, a Department of Health spokesman said this is like many other medical procedures, there can be side effects and adverse reactions, like death, I guess. Occasionally, yes, there are more severe side effects from receiving the vaccine. The number is generally low. Some 140 experience serious side effects of the 130 million who get the flu shot each year. So a week after getting it, he was delirious from sickness and he went to the hospital, fell into a coma, and died. So beware, parents that are going to turn your kids into little human guinea pigs for big pharma. They're going to give them four different flu shot strains and then a nasal flu shot. I guess you can't say it's an injection. It's more like a snort. Beware if you're going to put your kids into that. Now I want to go to this short video. A man rushed onto the stage of a second congressional district debate. This is also in Utah. And this is what he had to say. Here's the video.
Grateful for. Look at the firefighters here in Utah.
Vaccines cause autism.
Hey, please, sir.
Autism is not.
Can we get security? Sorry, Congressman.
How dare you jump up and say 9/11 was an inside job during the Super Bowl? Which that reminds me of. So it turns out the man was Corbin McMillan. He was arrested by Dixie State University police on suspicion of disorderly conduct and disrupting a meeting, both misdemeanor crimes. This is an article out of Fox 13. So he jumped up and said, vaccines cause autism. Autism is caused by vaccines. Be interesting to see what Corbin McMillan's history is. We have yet to hear from him. So the Congressman Stewart, he told reporters he was not afraid. He said, what could he do? I had all these officers around me. They were going to protect me. And the man didn't do anything threatening towards the congressman. He just wanted to get the word out about vaccines. Now, another person getting the word out on vaccines is Del Bigtree. He's been a host or a guest here. I've interviewed him extensively in D.C. about vaccines. Here's an update on the ICANN versus HHS key legal win recast vaccine debate. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has admitted that in direct violation of federal law, it has failed to provide a single vaccine safety report to Congress for 30 years, according to the Informed Consent Action Network, or ICANN. ICANN sought copies of these reports that they're supposed to release every 2 years, starting in 1988, detailing improvements that it's made to vaccine safety. ICANN was represented by Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. HHS spends billions annually promoting vaccines and generating a steady stream of reports promoting vaccines, Bigtree said. Dale Bigtree is the host of the show Highwire. Yet, when despite federal law, HHS cannot bother to complete the simple task of preparing its biennial report on vaccine safety. So how can they, if they can't even put the report out, how can they talk about improving vaccine safety? So since 1986, the U.S. government has been paying for vaccine-injured children to the tune of $3.9 billion for serious vaccine injuries. And that doesn't even go into the process that it takes to get a payment from the federal government. You think it's easy? No. The $3.9 billion represents a small percentage of the people that have brought cases to the vaccine court. And here's another Bigtree story. Jenny McCarthy is going to go back on out into the public eye again talking about vaccines. So is RFK Jr., among other luminaries, going on his show this week. So I encourage you to check it out. It's actually streaming live on, it looks like, was it Thursday? Yeah, today at 2 p.m. Eastern. So you could probably find the replay of that on YouTube. Jenny McCarthy, mother of a formerly autistic son, she claims she's cured his autism through diet and other what do they call it when you're taking the metals out of your body? Somebody look that up. There's a term for that. It's something else. It's It is a form of detoxing, but it's particular to metals, getting heavy metals out of your system. So she's returning to the public stage. Also, J.B. Handley, a Stanford-educated entrepreneur and author who penned the game-changing book, How to End the Autism Epidemic, which compiles new scientific studies about vaccines and includes court documents which reveal details of the DOJ's handling of recent cases. Also, Rolf Hazelhurst, assistant district attorney general, district attorney general of Tennessee, and father of an autistic child. See, what happens is these people in the system, their kids start to get these types of symptoms, and then you start seeing real change once it starts hitting the system. Whose 2009 landmark vaccine injury case against the U.S. government set a precedent for every future case. He's currently pursuing a new suit to overturn the DOJ's judgment in the landmark case, saying, "I put seven people in prison on far less evidence." And Robert Kennedy Jr., fresh off the landmark win, the $280 million win against Monsanto's product Roundup, now focusing on his attention as an advocate in the Hazelhurst case. So all these people are going to be appearing on Dale Bigtree's show, Highwire, which I encourage you to check out because he does an amazing job at putting the vaccine debate out in the forefront, which is where it should be, because people want to make jokes about it and say, ha, 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 people who are against vaccines are idiot Luddites. No, there's a lot of concern out there, and people who do the research and do the due diligence end up seeing, whoa, there is something to this skepticism from parents, especially parents who have injected their kids and then watched them die, which we just saw the article from the Utah mom, who's a healthy 19-year-old boy, suddenly dies after getting the flu shot. We need to wake up. We really need to test these things, and our government isn't giving us the information. We have to sue the government to get the Health and Human Services to do something they've been supposed to be doing for 30 years. Why can't we have the information? It has to do the same thing with the DOJ going to try to redact some of this information that Trump wants to put out in front of the American public. We are smart enough to make our own decisions if we're given the proper information. That is why we are here, to try and give you that information. Don't forget, you can go to InfoWarsStore.com and check out some of the great deals we have, and it supports everything we do here. The crew out there, the more shows we're putting together, the trips we go on, to get you the truth. And right now we have 25% off our final run of X2. This is it. 25% off, and it's about to go back up to full price. Also 50% off Super Male, Super Female Vitality, 40% off BioTrue Selenium. And I think we have a little deal there with BioTrue Selenium and Survival Shield. When taken together, they really do work in synergistic form. And that is all the time we have today. So don't forget to go to InfoWarsStore.com, check out what we have. Also, $50 off Alexa Pure Breeze air filters. Check out the water filters. It is preparedness month. Spread the word. InfoWars.com/show. They can't stop it because it's our own website. We put out our own streams and nobody can stop them. So check that out. And we'll see you next time, InfoWarriors. Don't forget, Owen Troyer is going to be doing a big call to action tomorrow. Check it out at InfoWars Army.